هاي كسنا نزوا هاي هلا من يمن جهال يا أنا أدري شيني كيفي شيني تين توجي فانة أنا دل يا أنا تيجي يمن تيجي قبلة أنا موجي قصورة هم وصل تيجوم تيجونة أنا يمن تيجوريس تامو هذا جندل يمن تيجوم تيجي كنا تيجونة لنا كسنا نزوا هلا ميجي كوسون توجي يندين تيجي تين تيجي أنا تيجي يا دبا دبا جايا تا أنا لاميكي كيدين دي كيدين دي كيدين دي كيدين دي هادو سينغا دوكي دي كيمتي دي جي كيدين تشيمبو يين با دا ان جي يندل لامي كوسون تو يندين دي با سامدا دوسي باي نانغا دوكي ديليا ديبا جايا دا ان كيدين دي كيدين دي دوس جانغوري ساشكيسين دي كو شيرو انت
Good evening. So last week, we having finished the preliminaries to relying on a spiritual teacher, and last week we started to look at the actual practice on how to rely on a spiritual teacher. So we mentioned last week that we the students need to investigate through analytical meditation the qualities of the teacher. Need to analyze the qualities of the teacher's body, speech, and mind in order to generate faith and trust in their teacher. And moreover, through analytical meditation, through analysis, the student then needs to reflect on the kindness of the teacher, coming to see the great benefit that follows from relying on the teacher. Tonight we'll then continue with the text, starting in the middle of page 10. So we in the middle of page 10, for those who are following His Holiness's commentary on the same translation of the root text, we in the middle of page 63. So the very last line of the second paragraph, think I have now met a spiritual guide and I will try to practice as pleases him. So this thought arises in one's mind, having reflected on the great qualities of one's teacher, as well as his tremendous kindness. And through those reflections, trust and conviction in one's teacher has arisen, and thereby one commits to practicing as pleases him.
To
explain then this thought, then we come to the next line. It is more kind to give a bowl of simple food to someone dying of hunger than to give a handful of golden coins to someone who has every luxury.
Kala
The meaning of this line is that if one compares two differing acts of generosity, one where a handful of golden coins is something of great value, is given to someone without a care in the world who has abides in happiness, in good health, they have an abundance of resources, so someone who really has no concerns. If one were to give such a person a handful of golden coins, or on the other hand, someone who was on the verge of death, someone who was impoverished and in desperate need for food and drink, if one was to give them a mere handful of nutritious food, between these two acts of generosity, which would have the greater benefit? So what should be clear is, of these two acts of generosity, the one has a substance is being offered of far greater value, golden coins, as opposed to just a handful of food. But in terms of benefit, there's incomparable benefits in helping someone on the brink of death and giving them the desperately required nutritious food, as opposed to just adding to someone's material abundance. So when comparing those two acts of generosity, it should be clear that bringing someone back from the brink of death, this is amongst those two acts, the far kinder act, the act of far greater benefit. So then, to use that understanding and apply to our own situation, so on the one hand, we've been shown tremendous kindness by our parents and many others who have guided us in developing whatever good qualities we already have attained in this life. But then, and then on the other hand, we've met a spiritual friend, a teacher who is guiding us in terms of developing an understanding of which minds to abandon, which minds to adopt. And if we compare the kindness of, on the one hand, our parents and the others who've helped us develop whatever good worldly qualities we have, and our teacher who's guiding us in developing qualities that could be called perhaps transworldly, then the Lama is seen as even kinder than our parents who have sustained us with such love and kindness in this life. And this is because the kindness that has been shown to us by our parents and our educators and various people in our lives have led us to develop much needed skills. It's only our spiritual teacher who is guiding us in how to cultivate minds that will lead to a complete liberation from suffering. And it's only our spiritual teacher who's guiding us in the abandonment of the minds that are keeping us trapped within the suffering realms of cyclic existence. So comparing these two then, it should be clear that whilst our parents and others are tremendously kind to us and we are dependent on their kindness, the kindness our teacher is showing us, this goes beyond this one life and it leads to the complete cessation of suffering, and therefore our Lama is seen as even kinder. And here's a verse now from the Five Stages, which is a text composed by Nagarjuna. The self-born Buddha is a being gone to perfection, but kinder than Buddha is your own teacher, for he personally gives you the oral teachings. The meaning of this verse then is that if in general we compare gods to human beings, we would have to say that gods are superior because gods have bodies that radiate light, they have powers such as clairvoyance, as well as many other qualities that humans can't even comprehend. But if one compares, so whilst gods can easily be seen as superior to humans, when we compare to Buddhas, well, there is no comparison. Buddhas, the qualities of Buddhas so exceed that of gods. So, and then just to say that translation of this verse is perhaps a bit different from what Gana is explaining.
Tumba sangye chumde ne mabhe nye le ya dhumbulung di le ya chogu chugu nabba tuhin dangbo suri esne. Tumba sangye chumde ne dirwa.
Ane, yene kong malep gong la dene.
Suyere.
Sanghi Shenpa de Madhepa. Yes. The Mingi Amasa.
De la Chogu to remember Tambotin and Sanghi Jinne. Nema Sanghi Jinne, Sanghi number Shipia Sade, Sasa, Jisutemba Dosade, Dosane, Zabuni Sadu, Shinya Yang, Ma Sadu Chi, Mela Chad, Yamja Sagan Saturday. Then Shinya Yadin, Sanghi Jinne, Seva Jabikasu, Sanghi Jinne Zumbu Perwa. Tikasu, Chesume Yomare.
So let's then look at the meaning of the first line, the self-born Buddha. So why is Buddha Shakyamuni referred to as the self-born Buddha? Well, when he came into this world, the teachings of another Buddha were not present. So there had been Buddhas previous to Buddha Shakyamuni who had taught in this world, such as Buddha Kashyapa, but his teachings had completely died out. So therefore, when Buddha, the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni came to this world and came and trained and developed himself, it wasn't done independent on those, on other teachings of a Buddha that were present in the world. Because at that time, there was no teachings of a Buddha present in the world. So therefore, Buddha Shakyamuni attained, or the being that became Buddha Shakyamuni attained enlightenment based on his own efforts, and therefore he's referred to as a self-born Buddha. In this age, it's said that there are about 1,000 Buddhas that will appear in our world. And these 1,000 Buddhas then are a particular, maybe you could say, category of Buddha, in that these are wheel turning Buddhas, those who come to the world at a time when the Buddha Dharma doesn't exist in the world, and they turn the wheels of Dharma for the first time. So before Buddha Shakyamuni appeared in our world, the Dharma of Kashyapa had completely died out. Then he came, he was the fourth of these 1,000 Buddhas, and he turned the wheel of Dharma, bringing the Dharma into our world. After his teachings, those of Buddha Shakyamuni, have died out, there'll be a long period within our world where there are no teachings. And then eventually, the being Maitreya, Buddha Maitreya, will appear in our world. And he will then be the fifth wheel-turning Buddha. And he will turn the wheel of Dharma, bring the Dharma back into our world.
Then
In the world since Buddha Shakyamuni has been here, many beings have attained enlightenment and dependence on Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings. But as they attained enlightenment independence on the teachings of a wheel-turning Buddha, it wouldn't be suitable to call them a self-arisen Buddha. So there has been no other self-arisen Buddha in the period since Buddha Shakyamuni appeared in our world, although there have been many beings who have attained enlightenment. And when Buddha Shakyamuni appeared in our, or the being that became Buddha Shakyamuni appeared in our world, he first was a householder, and then he went forth and ordained, and he then displayed the varying deeds of a Buddha. And that's why he is suitable to be called a self-arisen Buddha. But in the time that his teachings abide in this world, there will be no other being who attains enlightenment who would be suitable to be called a self-arisen Buddha, because they would have attained their enlightenment independence on the teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni.
In our world, there are many gods with great powers, such as clairvoyance. There have been many founder teachers of religions and philosophy who have brought great benefits. But none of these beings can compare with the activities of a wheel-turning Buddha, in particular Buddha Shakyamuni. Because it's a wheel-turning Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni, who has taught the incomparable Dharma. And the reason that the Dharma is incomparable is because it is the unmistaken path that, when cultivated within oneself, leads to the attainment of omniscience. No other being other than a Buddha has an omniscient consciousness. No other being, therefore, can teach from direct experience how to cultivate an omniscient consciousness. So therefore, the teachings of a wheel-turning Buddha are incomparable to any other teachings. And therefore, the activity of turning the wheel of Dharma, the bringing into this world the unmistaken teachings that lead to the omniscient state, this too is an act of incomparable greatness. The reason then that Buddha Shakyamuni is should be seen as being supremely kind is because it is only he that taught this unmistaken path to enlightenment. So there have been many other founder teachers of other philosophies and religion, but none of them have identified the root cause of our remaining bound within cyclic existence. And not having identified the root cause of all our suffering, they haven't been able to identify the actual antidote to our suffering. So in the Buddha Shakyamuni, he has presented that true grasping, the mind of true grasping, this is the root cause of all suffering, and it only can be eliminated through the cultivation of the wisdom realizing emptiness. And this identification of the root cause of suffering, as well as its direct antidote, the middle way path, it's only Buddha Shakyamuni who taught this, who presented the actual path to liberation, and therefore the kindness of Buddha Shakyamuni is seen as supreme.
That was the third line. So again, this commentary is a little different from the translation we have. So what we've seen thus far is, if we compare humans and gods, then in general it should be quite clear that gods can be said to be superior because of the qualities they have. But now, if we think of the kind, we've already reflected now on the third line on the incredible kindness and importance of the Buddha. But if we compare the kindness of Buddha Shakyamuni that he has shown to us, compared to the kindness that our own teacher, our own Vajra Master has shown us, then for ourselves we can say that even kinder than Buddha Shakyamuni is our own teacher, our own Vajra Master.
The reason that it's suitable to say that our own Vajra Master is even kinder to us than Buddha Shakyamuni is not to deprecate the greatness or kindness of Buddha Shakyamuni in any way. It's rather that us ourselves, we didn't have the merit to be able to train under the care of the founder Buddha Shakyamuni. We weren't able to meet him directly, receive teachings from him directly, and train under his care. However, we have been able to come under the care and the guidance of a spiritual teacher. He is the one who we have been able to meet, receive teachings from, and guidance from. And it is our spiritual teacher who directly benefits us. And therefore we can say for ourselves that our spiritual teacher is even kinder than Buddha Shakyamuni.
Yeah,
We haven't had the opportunity to receive teachings directly from Buddha Shakyamuni and come under his direct care. However, we have come under the care of a spiritual teacher, and it's through the guidance of a spiritual teacher that the teachings of the Buddha Dharma itself, we can come to understand these. Without a spiritual teacher, the only way we can meet Buddha Shakyamuni is through a representation and an image. We don't have the opportunity to meet Buddha Shakyamuni directly. And whilst his teachings, the Buddha Dharma, does exist in this world, and one can access them independent from a teacher, one will not come to a much of an understanding of the Buddha Dharma through one's own endeavors alone. It's only through relying on a spiritual teacher that we can give rise to powerful transformative realizations or understandings of the teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni. So therefore we can see our teacher as being kinder for us than even by Buddha Shakyamuni himself. So whilst Buddha Shakyamuni is a supreme world-turning Buddha, the teachers in this world, our spiritual friends, they are like his representatives in this world. And that is because it is through them that we can come to meet the true meaning of the Buddha Dharma. In other words, we can give rise to the minds of the Buddha's teachings within ourselves through the kindness of our spiritual teachers.
Then
we read the sentence just above the quotation. For this reason, it is said that your personal spiritual mentor is kinder than even Buddha himself.
We don't have the merit to have the good fortune to meet the enjoyment body of a Buddha, the Sambhogakaya, or the merit to meet Vajradhara in person or directly. So we however do have the merit to meet the emanation bodies of a Buddha when they come in a form that we do have the merit to relate to. And it's through these emanation bodies that we can receive teachings and guidance and training in terms of our own inner development, our own spiritual development. So it's through our spiritual teachers that we can hear the words of the Buddha directly from him, through his representative in this world, the representative to whom we can personally relate. And through relying on such a teacher and following their guidance, we too can give rise to the same mental paths that all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have given rise to. And in this way, we can develop the paths of the Buddha Dharma within ourselves. So it's for this reason that we see our spiritual teacher as being even kinder than Buddha Shakyamuni, a supreme wheel-turning Buddha. So here, in this part of the presentation, it's important to mention that that you need to guard yourselves against a possible misunderstanding. Because when it's said that our spiritual teacher is even kinder to us than the Buddha, that does sound like that our spiritual teacher and the Buddha are separate. And therefore, it's quite easy to make that, to come to such an understanding, and that would be a mistaken understanding. So rather, what we should understand by this view, that the Buddha, that the Dharma's teacher is even kinder to us than the Buddha, is not that they are of a different continuum, or our teacher is not a Buddha. Rather, that we do not have the merit and thereby the opportunity to meet the actual body that's marked by the 112 marks and signs of a wheel-turning Buddha. We do not have such merit. So we need to then rely on an emanation of such a body, an emanation that we can relate to, that is in a form that we can directly meet and receive teachings and guidance from. So this is the meaning of seeing our teacher as kinder than the Buddhas.
If
we look at the the two form bodies of a Buddha, the two different kinds of physical bodies of a Buddha. Then there's a Sambhogakaya, or the enjoyment body, and the Manakaya, the enjoyment and emanation and enjoyment bodies. Thank you. So the Sambhogakaya, this is a form of Buddha that teaches to beings such as gods, because they are able to perceive a Sambhogakaya. But for ourselves, we cannot perceive such a form of a Buddha, a Sambhogakaya. This is beyond the capacity of ordinary human beings. So for us, if we compare the kindness of the Sambhogakaya and the enjoyment body, and that of the wheel-turning Buddha, founder Buddha, such as Buddha Shakyamuni, then it's clear Buddha Shakyamuni, the wheel-turning Buddha, is far kinder to us, or of greater benefit to us, because whilst we don't have the opportunity to meet him directly, we do still have the opportunity to meet his teachings, to encounter his teachings. So in this way, we can say that the wheel-turning Buddha is a supreme wheel-turning Buddha, is of far greater kindness to us and greater benefit to us than even the many Sambhogakayas. But compared to both of them, our Lama, who we can directly meet and who can directly guide us, is even kinder still. What we're discussing here directly relates to what we looked at last week. So if you see the very first sentence in this section, the best way to rely on a spiritual teacher is to practice analytical meditation upon his excellent qualities and his beneficial function in your spiritual life. And that is exactly what we're doing here. We're engaging in analytical meditation together, because we're looking and investigating, and we're seeing that we haven't created the causes to meet directly the Buddha in the form of a Sambhogakaya or a wheel-turning Nimanakaya. We haven't created those causes, and therefore we are not in the presence of the enjoyment or emanation bodies, or the wheel-turning body. Yet, we have come to meet the Buddha Dhamma. We have come to receive explanations on what is keeping us bound within suffering, and what is the path to liberation, the path to freedom. So all of this, all of the knowledge we have of the Buddha Dhamma, we have attained due to having met and come under the care and guidance of a spiritual teacher. So in this way, through this analysis, we come to see that for ourselves, our spiritual teacher's kindness is greater than that of even the Sambhogakayas and the wheel-turning Buddhas. So this is how we use analytical meditation in this context.
Sabade,
安说这个现在中国老说吧，你切碰巴的给破啊，是阿拉嘛来破啊来噻，安尼，古里来买买东做包说，利用就他们这多少在土是阿丹。
Reading the last paragraph on page 10. To receive spiritual instructions, Buddha made offerings of possessions, service, and practice. For example, in a previous life, he offered 100,000 pieces of gold to a teacher to receive the half verse. If there is birth, there is death. Stopping this process is bliss itself. In another life, as a king, he sacrificed his wife and his only child for a single verse of the Dharma. On another occasion, he made his body into a lamp and burned it as an offering to his spiritual mentor.
So now this refers to a period when the being that was as yet to become Buddha Shakyamuni was training under the training in the world when the teachings of a previous wheel-turning Buddha's teachings were still present in the world, that of Buddha Kashyapa. So the being that was to become a Buddha, he made huge offerings, as we see, 100,000 pieces of gold, in order to receive just two lines of verse of teaching. And those two lines, if there is birth, there is death. Stopping this process is bliss itself. So here, the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni, he made these extensive offerings, due to understanding of the preciousness of the Buddha Dharma and the kindness of teachers, and therefore he made these extensive offerings even for just such a brief teaching. So this isn't even a complete verse, it's just half a verse.
The
So the meaning of these two lines that Buddha Shakyamuni made, this, or the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni, made these extensive offerings to receive, was for those who have been coming to the dependent arising teachings will recognize the meaning behind here. If independent on karma that has been created by afflictions, one takes rebirth, then independent on that, one will also take one will also die due to contaminated karma that has been created independent on afflicted minds. So the meaning is, the meaning in brief is that whatever is born will die, whatever arises will cease. And this is something that we can observe in the natural world, whether with fauna and flora, we see that this is the case. And the meaning here, though, in particular, is if birth is taken due to karma and afflictions, death will come about due to karma and afflictions. So this is, in brief, the meaning of the first line. Understanding it more extensively, when birth is taken due to contaminated karma that has been accumulated due to the afflicted minds, then one will be born as either in hell, or as a spirit, or as an animal, a human, or as a god. And if one is born in one of the suffering lower realms of the animals, the spirits, and the hell beings, the suffering is immense. But even if one is born in the so-called happier migrations of a god or human, one's existence is nevertheless pervaded by suffering. And this all comes about independent on having taken uncontrolled rebirth due to contaminated karma and afflictions, and then independent on this uncontrolled rebirth, uncontrolled death will also follow. And if we look at this first line a little further, if there is birth, there is death. This is a presentation on dependent arising. It's also a presentation on the Four Noble Truths. Because, as it says here, that when birth has taken independence on contaminated karma and afflictions, this is highlighting the truth of origin. That the origin of our uncontrolled rebirth in samsara, the origin of what is keeping us bound in uncontrolled rebirth in samsara,
is the contaminated karma that has been accumulated by our afflicted minds. And these have as their very root the ignorance of self-grasping. So here in this line we immediately see the truth of origin. Having taken rebirth in samsara due to contaminated karma and afflictions, birth itself is suffering. Immediately one enters into the suffering of aging, later into sickness, and then death. So this whole process of taking uncontrolled rebirth leads to continuous suffering, such as birth, aging, sickness, and death. And this then is points to the second of the Four Noble Truths, that of the truth of suffering. Then looking at the second line of this half verse, stopping this process is bliss itself. So stopping this process, ceasing this process, abandoning this process, this is referring first of all to what is the process? It's this process of continuously, life after life, taking uncontrolled rebirth, rebirth that we have no control over in cyclic existence, due to the contaminated karma we've accumulated through our own afflicted minds. When this process is brought to an end, when we act so that it ceases, that it stops, then there's no more uncontrolled rebirth means there's no more uncontrolled death. There is no more suffering. And this is liberation. So through stopping uncontrolled rebirth, one stops suffering, and one stops uncontrolled rebirth, uncontrolled death. So this is liberation. So cessation, or we have it here, stopping. This refers to what are we stopping, what are we ceasing? This is this uncontrolled rebirth that comes about due to contaminated karma accumulated by the afflictions. What is the cause of this? Of this uncontrolled rebirth, it's the ignorance of self-grasping, because it's from this ignorance of self-grasping that come all of the afflicted minds that lead to accumulation of contaminated karma. So this is what needs to be abandoned, and when it is, liberation is attained. Liberation from uncontrolled rebirth. If one's liberated from uncontrolled rebirth in samsara, one is liberated from suffering. Because if there's no further uncontrolled rebirth in samsara, there is no more suffering. So the meaning of liberation then, we can understand it that it is the cessation of suffering. In particular, the root cause of suffering, the ignorance of self-grasping. We can also express it as the liberation of from uncontrolled rebirth in samsara. And the result of this liberation is the attainment of a lasting, stable happiness. And this is the truth of cessation. Amongst the Four Noble Truths, this is the third, the truth of cessation. Cessation of suffering, cessation on the causes of suffering. How does one achieve this? It's the cultivation of the path within oneself, the mental paths that lead to liberation. And these are the paths of bliss that we see referred to here. But stopping this process is bliss itself. And the stopping of this process, this refers to the truth of the path which leads to cessation, leads to liberation. And this is bliss. And then this is the fifth of the Noble Truths, the truth of path. Kuna deni di dan kongi tawa lama dang atawa yome de koma song.
Tawa lama ki shingi de. Tadi lama chue tukje nyi shuruwa da lama chue shuruwa. Deni ke chue tukje nyi sunka lama dele ya be masi da gedin chibu tuyenji gedin da deba gedin chenji an dele ya nyeba lama nyeba tuya la an se sang bumra la so puwa re se dire doa.
The Bodhisattva who was to go on and become Buddha Shakyamuni, understanding the tremendous importance of the Buddha Dharma, he made these extensive offerings in order to receive just these two lines. But due to his own spiritual development, whilst only two lines were heard, far greater meaning arose within himself. And this then too goes to show the tremendous kindness of a teacher, and also the Bodhisattva that was to become the Buddha, his appreciation of a teacher, that appreciating the kindness and importance of the teacher and teachings, he made such an extensive offering to receive what on a superficial level is a very brief teaching, although it would have carried far greater meaning for himself.
Looking
at the next illustration, in another life, when Buddha Shakyamuni, the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni, when he was a king, he offered his wife and his only child for a single verse of the Dharma. So this is illustrating that in terms of material offerings, it's not just about offering wealth, but it's, the meaning is offering things of whatever one values.
Mm. 老朱也拉满了七八块啊，当现在也进不大呀，老说吧，当今天包装没吧，现在当呢，这个全部亏呀，老说吧，当今天反正就两，所以说个，嗯，这个，旅游的呢，嗯，今天个，这个，嗯，进，进五了，今天个，买卖七八，今天全部亏呀，老说吧，我今天是亏钱了，白，这个啊，七八，今天个，再进不亏钱，嗯，人家们都是哪来的，是不是吧？
And then in the next line we see another illustration. On another occasion he made his body into a lamp and burnt it as an offering to his spiritual mentor.
If we think into ourselves, why were such offerings like these made? We remind ourselves that the great being that was to later develop into Buddha or attain enlightenment and become Buddha Shakyamuni, he was motivated by powerful minds of love and compassion. And these minds of love and compassion had as their objective the attainment of enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. And to do this, motivated by love and compassion, the Bodhisattva knew all the faults that he had in his continuum had to be abandoned, and all good qualities had to be perfected. And in order to do this, huge amounts of virtue were required, as well as training and practice. So with this motivation of love and compassion, wanting to attain enlightenment for the sake of suffering beings, that the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni made offerings such as these. Concluding this paragraph on the 11th page, since you are a follower of Buddha, you should do likewise. If you have heard many teachings from your spiritual teacher, is his kindness not immeasurable? So here we reflect that through the guidance and training that we've received already from our teachers, we have accumulated so much merit, so many causes of happiness. And that should bring great joy to our lives, great joy to our minds, and give us courage to continue to live our lives in a good way, following the example of the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni.
Is 这些切开去学这些，去学那么几类别的，天天给我那谈的，去电话接的，念不了接的，天天吃不不一定接完。然后你到去是那么的，去接活的也是些。你那些活多生病啊，就那，都是那三月九那里给，你再不去嘞，你们能接他的怕，然后就心就急。你那个在那那里的那些，人家在那些急性子都说说，心就急啊，当，俺都是你们能接过，接活的也是些，是不？天天送多的。
If we combine what we just looked at here and then a little earlier, we can remind ourselves both through the enlightened activities of the Buddha that we have come to meet our teacher. And therefore, we are under the care of the Buddha through being under the care of our teachers. And we should take as our role model, our example, our spiritual teacher, as well as Buddha Shakyamuni. And having them as our role models, being their students, we should emulate them, we should act just like they did, see how they have and are acting as examples for us to follow. And as we've seen here tonight, the tremendous importance of the Buddha Dharma and how the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni, the value that he placed onto the Buddha Dharma, and his desire, his motivation, was one of love and compassion, a wish to be of benefit to others, of greatest benefit to others. And for these reasons, he made great endeavor to please his teacher through receiving teachings and cultivating those teachings within his own continuum.
三界国王托把人接回去的，人家那我来是的。那三界国王托谁的？俺什么哪里啊？三界谁的？现在进来越把钱，定俺是做亚洲先做地来越把路什么的苦多。三界国王托过来是个罗大王子，这三界国王托过来是的。三界国王是现在进来越把钱，啊，定俺就把亚洲这地来越把路什么，俺是什么的那些苦果，把什么三界谁的啊就越把钱，定俺就给。 都是人家今年的第初来月把路塞个了，那等到人家买了，当然就，但等到了，刚才说是三界国王透过这些的，我们做三界国的那个了哇，三界国的那个，等到看了是，上次的我好像就明白的买了水壶的时候的，然后就越来越的跟，就像矿桌、鞋当、马甲、马里布，我立马上次立马把水壶的也是，但这些的，然后就是都上到了，马上把我修多点的。
那里头啊，这个现在你说马新吧，上我了，可以吧？那么了，可以吧？马新吧，那里三年开始起的，那年开始我起码可以，我就新做嘛，马新吧，天天马新吧，车上那个门包给马新吧，马上都要下头了。现在天天马新吧，车上也是的，车上新的水我来水了吧？现在上水的，马上就给了年末读书车上买把水。
然后这个累积都没法的怕，对人家车上新的水壶来水了。现在你车上呢，上些车上的车上，就算上街了就，但短到了看过是，马上这个说是预计，要么都是要么不是，那么没有车上买了水壶来是，他新过来的人家车上，怕人家出借了，你加什么水壶来水了，借把水壶来是，就算你借过来水了，上街才等于你借过来水了，忘了。
In the world, usually we think if there's something that we want to achieve, we have to do various things so that we can get what we hope to achieve. And when we hear then that in Buddhism or in the Buddha Dharma, we need to practice, we need to train our minds. We must be very clear that the goal of training our minds, the goal of practicing, it's not so that we can get something that someone else has or that someone else has achieved. It's not that we can go somewhere and collect something or go to someone and receive something. This is not possible. What we need to achieve is enlightenment. The word for a Buddha is in Tibetan is Sangye. The word to become a Buddha is also Sangye. So we take these two syllables. And this explains what it means to be a Buddha as well as becoming a Buddha. So the first particle, the first syllable, sang. So this then, the sang means to have purified
all faults, all stains completely. So in other words, the mind such as anger, attachment, ignorance, pride, jealousy, all of these minds completely purified with their seeds and their stains, so that there's not a trace that remaining. So this is the quality that a Buddha, a Sangha, has. It's the process one goes through to arise as a Buddha. And then the second syllable, that of Gye. So this then refers to everything becoming known. So if we think of the situation that we are now, we are like beings dwelling in darkness. But when one attains enlightenment, then it's like arising in the light of our own good qualities, our own inner wisdom. And so the second syllable, that Gye, this refers to perfecting all good qualities. So in other words, to attain enlightenment, to Sangye, one needs to purify all faults and perfect all good qualities. And when one is a Buddha, Sangye, that is the state one is. One is a being completely purified of all faults and having perfected all good qualities.
To summarize what we've been looking at tonight, as we saw in one of these last sentences we looked at, we are followers of the Buddha, so therefore we should train like him. He taught us the complete and unmistaken path to enlightenment, and he taught it based on his own experience. So therefore we should follow his example, emulate his example, train just like him to achieve that same result. And here we've seen illustrations tonight about how he acted with great trust and faith in his teacher. And this is something then we need to reflect on with a mind of analysis, coming to gain ever greater a conviction in the qualities of our teachers. Because the situation that we find ourselves in right now is quite far from that. Our natural way of relating to people is that their fault appears as very large to us. And we very easily and spontaneously, without effort, we see the faults in others to us, and they appear as exaggerated. Perhaps to understand this, we can take an illustration of the situation in some families. So parents show a tremendous amount of kindness to their children. If it wasn't for the kindness of parents, then even if the baby were born, that infant is completely helpless and is dependent for years on their parents, completely dependent. And this process in varying ways continues for about 2 decades. And if after, so let's say the now young person is about 20 years old, they have a fallout with their parents, and all the good that has been done for them, all the kindness and care, and then being their needs of the child being placed before those of the parents again and again, these get forgotten. And now what dominates is what was said, what was done. And maybe the child will want nothing more to do with their parents. So this does happen in the world, and in varying degrees it is quite common. So this is due to our habitual way of thinking. This due to our own negative imprint, we tend to see negative aspects in a far stronger way, in a way that is not in a disproportionate way. We see negative aspects in a disproportionate way. And this is the same with our teacher. Everything our teacher does for us is motivated by love and compassion for us. The motivation of love and compassion extends to all sentient beings, of which we are an illustration of a suffering sentient being. With this motivation, all they do for us is for us to achieve our potential. But if our teacher happens to show a facial expression or a particular tone of voice we find unpleasant, then immediately criticism arises within us. And if we hear a presentation that we're not entirely comfortable with, again criticism arises within us. So this comes about due to a strong habitual way of thinking, and it needs to be overcome, and overcome through analytical meditation as has been described tonight and the previous week, as well as earlier when you looked at the qualities of the teacher. The second technique for transforming this way of thinking is to remind ourselves of not just of the qualities of the teacher, but the value of this relationship. Remind ourselves that it's only through relying on our teachers that they can bring to life within ourselves the minds of the Buddha Dhamma. It's only through relying on our teacher that we can give rise to the causes that will lead to a complete pacification of all suffering, that can lead to a complete a state of lasting happiness, and moreover can lead us to becoming bodhisattvas and being of greatest benefit to other suffering beings. So if we make our mind much more broad and expansive in this way, coming to generate strong respect for the teacher, for his good qualities, as well as appreciating the beneficial effects he brings into our life. In this way we can transform how we relate to our teacher, and thereby his teachings will have a transformative effect on ourselves. So it's my hope in your daily meditation, now you can incorporate the reflections that we've described briefly tonight and last week, as well as some weeks ago when you looked at the qualities of the teacher. And if you do so, way of thinking will transform.
Makes you too worried, huh? Done that, you go to.